Aisha, and I'm a former host of Mocha Single Mothers by Choice, or SMCs. Like you, as an SMC, I decided to become a mother knowing I'd be the sole care provider and parent for my children, at least at the outset. The Mocha stood for Black, so I'm using the word Black, and I'll be discussing being a single mother by choice from a Black woman's lens. You'll connect with all the interesting and fun things about this non-traditional path, like discussing which sperm to use and some hard truths about fertility and the realities of dating as a single mother who doesn't have a co-parent to rely on occasionally, and what it's actually like to parent as an S&C. This is the Black Single Mothers by Choice podcast. Hi, Pod. So this is our Every Month is Black History Month episode. We are so excited. We are so excited to talk to you about Black History Month and do it in the context of parenting Black children, being Black women and Black creatives. We're going to touch on Black culture appropriation across the genres. I know. And it is truly feeling like it's a regular conversation with my girlfriend. And I look forward to our time together. And I grab my coffee and a warm blanket because it's winter. And we also want to say thank you to all of our listeners, because without you, this would not be the joy fest that it is.
Absolutely.
All right. This is Black History Month. And the reason why it resonates with us or registers with us as something that is different from our ordinary lives is because we now interact with school and the school system and teachers. And so we get to see a bird's eye view of how our school systems address Blackness in America through Black History Month. How are you addressing this? What's your school doing? I had to start dealing with Black History Month probably in preschool. And so I've always been the one who will ask, what are you all doing for Black History Month? So for the parents out there, there are so many different ways that you can approach this topic and get into your school's business. I would start out like, what are you all doing for Black History Month? And they would give me this spiel. They would read the usuals, Martin Luther King. And I'm like, are we covering anybody else? And so then that's my cue. So in kindergarten, they used to, when schools were open, they used to have parents come up and read books. So I would bring in Ruby Bridges. I brought in the ballerina and the astronaut. Their names are escaping me. Yeah, for me, we went through George Washington Carver this last weekend. My daughter and I, we are intentional about reading Black History books during Black History Month. And so we read the book about George Washington Carver. And so my daughter's 7. So this is about the age where they start to connect with worldviews and the news and things like that. So we're reading and we're talking about what things were like in George Washington Carver's days. And she's just like, why did people have slaves? Why did they treat people that way? They were just Black people, they're like, but they're still people. And so having to tease apart that. So I can tell you that I am just enjoying the conversations that we're having right now. So we read the Vashti Harrison Little Legend series of books. We read National Geographic books on Black history figures. Sesame Street, as always, PBS is doing a kick behind job. They just released a musical on YouTube for Black History Month. And my daughter watched it 5 times. She asked me to send it to her school. So that's how I engaged the school this year. I sent them the Black History Month video and I said, my daughter loves it, asked me to share it. And so then that opened the door for the teachers to share with me that they're watching the Black History Month series on our local free station at the school. And so there are just different ways that you can engage the school to find out what they're doing, to help you figure out how you might either supplement your kids' learning or the learning of their classmates through different conduits that parents can get into the school. So I'm enjoying this time. So let's dive into the topic for today. So as Hera and I have hit our 1-year podiversary, we continue to grow in our endeavors and we're learning a lot and we're engaging some really great people, and that's good. And we've also encountered some bottom dwellers, but the bottom dwellers are the people who want to come for you for your free labor. Right. And it shouldn't be surprising, but yet it still is, because we're in this era of pay Black women for their work. And the very people we need to pay us for our work would want to take that work from us for free. And so one of the things we wanted to do was to put this episode in historical context, both past history and current history. If you know your history, you will understand that appropriation of Black culture and Black art and Black creative endeavors is interwoven into America's history. From the earliest times, we know about the slave owners who were profiting off of inventions of Black slaves, right? The most notable was the 1858 case of Oscar Stewart, who tried to profit off the cotton scraper tool that was invented by an enslaved Black man who we call Ned, right? This was someone that Stewart held in bondage and was trying to steal his creative work or notice that they're doing it and be so used to people not wanting to make situations uncomfortable and get a pass on that. And I am here to tell you that in this age, I just turned 46, in this age, it's not going down that way. If I am uncomfortable and fuming on the inside, trust me, if you steal my work, you will also become uncomfortable in a professional way, but you will know that you should stop this. Let's not talk about how we are climbing the charts in Europe and in the Baltic states.
Yeah, that's true.
But understand the optics here, or is that it is expected for Black people to read medical literature, to consume entertainment magazines that have nothing but white people, and it should be appropriate for us. And we consume it. The reverse should be true as well. And it is true. That's why we have the appropriation of Black culture. That's why we have white bebop dudes dancing and bopping their heads to hip hop and R&B as they're driving their cars. And it's out there. So just because the pictures are pictures of Black people, it does not mean that it is not being consumed and is not consumable by white audiences. If you think that by going into Black spaces and stealing their work and using it in white spaces, that the two don't overlap, you are gravely mistaken and you're in for a real uncomfortable awakening. Okay, so we are aware that appropriation of Black culture occurs across a spectrum. So we know the history of the 1920s, where white musicians were stealing songs from Black artists to gain popularity and gain tons of profits in white spaces. Yeah, it happens in the music industry. Black culture gets appropriated. We get dinged for it. White America, who adopts Black culture, they get praised for it. And so singer Stephanie Mills said it the best in a recent interview. She said that the music industry wants R&B. They want our music, but they don't want it from us. They want it from Adele. They want it from Justin Timberlake. They want it from Justin Bieber. They want it from Tina Marie. They want it from Ariana Grande. They want rap from Vanilla Ice. They want rap from Eminem. It's a tale as old as time that non-Black people stealing elements of Black culture. They don't want to experience what it's like to be in Black skin, but they want to steal certain elements that enhances their very being and presence. And that's just not cool. And then they bring fame and fortune to themselves, and the people that you stole it from get nothing. All right. So on that, continuing on this topic in pop culture, Hera, you've seen the movie Bring It On, right? It was a cheerleading movie with Gabrielle Union and Kirsten Stan. It's your typical white suburban, I'm going to be a cheerleader, the cheer squad, right? And but they were getting their choreography from an inner city school, from a cheer squad that was led by Gabrielle Union. And so the entire movie goes through the angst and mental anguish that Kirsten Dunst's character has to deal with. Do I keep stealing and appropriating their culture, or do I give credit where credit is due? Or how do we level the playing field so that we are actually competing against the best, right? And so that would be my concern with a lot of what we're seeing in terms of systemic racism and institutional racism. I would wonder if I am actually the best at what white America tells me I'm the best at, or are they just subduing and hiding eliteness because it doesn't come in white skin? The other really important thing that came up in that movie was that typically, like Isis, Gabrielle Union's character, we know you're stealing our stuff. And we're looking at you like we're right here. You mm-hmm. just came in and took our stuff, right? And then that's where the whole gaslighting comes in. It's, oh, mm-hmm. we didn't mean to. Did we really? Like, oh my gosh. And then we muddy the waters mm-hmm. with everything else. And that's where the allies come into place, because it's, I've been in that room that Hera described mm-hmm. where it's just, I just said that. And you're looking around for someone to say, mm-hmm. this was not in my head. I actually said that. And if there's not another Black soul or another ally in that mm-hmm. room, or another Black woman in that room, you're going to be sitting there. Yeah. And cornrows are frowned upon when it's on Black people, but on Kendall Jenner, it's like the greatest thing. The beauty industry and their lip fillers and their tanners and their bronzers and their butt injections, it's all co-opting pieces of Blackness. Pay disparities for mm-hmm. Black speakers at conferences, on panels and workshops, pay Black people, and in particular, Black women, for their work. And so here's the thing. We do this because we love it. We are taking our 10 years of experience in this area, and we are helping other women, and we love it. To acknowledge us in a book, a periodical, to pay us for consulting, that's awesome. But let us decide what we give away for free. And it goes back to, if you don't know your history and you don't know the role that you play in sustaining that historical behavior, you're doomed to repeat it, right? So we go back to picking bits and pieces of Black culture that you want, or outright taking it. And that's what this woman wanted. She mm-hmm. wanted to say, can I use your names? Can I take this bits and pieces of you mm-hmm. and use it? Thank you for asking. We decline. And then it's just, I'll just take it. And it's just like, what you won't do is this, right? So we had to do a whole re-educating. And she eventually came around to understanding our point of view, and she left it alone. But also recently it happens, and it will continue to happen as we gain ground and thought prominence in the space. Yeah. And trust me, we work really hard. We work with other creatives. We talk to other creatives, and we will praise their work and let them know we see you. You can walk on the same ground that we walk on and cover the same ground that we've covered, but please do not take lock, stock, and barrel titles of our episodes, our contact people, and whitewash it and put it behind paywalls. That's just not cool. And they say imitation is the greatest form of a compliment, but that is just that actual US currency to do work for you. And you came to us with this offer.
Yeah, it was quite interesting.
Just leave it at that. So let's give the gift of more knowledge. So how should you reach out to a creative asking to use their work or their time or their likeness or their names? Yes. Okay. To wrap things up, Black history is all of our history. And as SNCs, we have some notable Black figures that we want to acknowledge on this day. We'd like to acknowledge Mary Beatrice Davison Kenner for inventing the sanitary belt in 1957. Thank you for helping us capture that red wave.
And Dr. Percy LaVon Julian, who discovered how to mass produce progesterone. So Pod, I think we have him to thank for progesterone and oil to some extent.
And last but not least, Marie Van Britton Brown, who invented the modern day home security system. As an SMC with two littles to protect, we thank you. And alas, if any of the historical references mentioned in this episode is new to you, let the Mocha SMCs remind you that even though your frame is not draped in beautiful Black skin, Black African-American history is your history too. Until next time.
Bye, Pod.
Pod, thank you so much for taking the time to listen. If you like what you've heard, please share this podcast with your girlfriends, and I'd love to hear your thoughts about the topics covered in this episode. So email me at mochasnc@gmail.com. If you found value in the topics covered, consider making a donation using the link in the show notes below. Till next time, Pod. Bye now.